If I could turn your attention to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. Starting in verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have war. So God's watching us all the time. Not only does he see us, but he can read our mind. And we have that. When we have that perfect heart towards him, well, he defends us, he shows himself strong. But when we don't, there seems like there's some conflict, there's going to be some war. And I don't want war in my life. I want to have that perfect heart towards him. Lord, we're asking you to bless the word tonight. You're so kind to us. Without that, they're just words. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Could I leave the screen down, please? I'm sorry, I should have told you that. God is saying we can have him fight our battles if we have this perfect love towards not only God, but towards everybody else as well. And I'm amazed at how God watches every little thing that we do. And he makes that evident to us because every once in a while we'll be thinking about God, like Brother Brown said, and then we'll feel the presence of God and we recognize, oh, he just read my thoughts. As we're eating, as we're sleeping, always ready to show himself strong on our behalf because of our demonstration of love for God and for other people. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 in the New International Version says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So when God comes to our rescue, when we have these situations or dilemmas in our life and we don't know what to do, and then God comforts us somehow, he's saying, okay, I comforted you. Now I'm asking you to comfort somebody else. So as we are comforted by God in our trouble, we are to comfort others in their trouble. And it's what the church does. Do you see the potential of each of us to extend mercy and comfort to others? Sometimes we come in here with a heavy heart, things aren't going well for us, and a brother or a sister just shakes our hand, hugs our neck, tells us we're praying for them. We get a text. We're in a tech world now, and we can so easily reach out to people no matter where they are at any time. We don't have to wait for the mail, and we get a response from people. No one understands their situation like those that have experienced it firsthand and delivered by God. No one can comfort someone who had a heart attack like somebody who has survived a heart attack. No one can comfort somebody who has had an operation. When they've had an operation and been at that place where I'm not so sure that this is going to work out. Or comfort someone going through a divorce or lost a loved one or financial crisis or alcohol or drugs or abandonment. No one can lead a sinner to God like somebody who was a sinner and knows God. So why am I going through all of this, God? Well, I know your heart is perfect towards me, and I'll come to your rescue, and then you can comfort somebody in the same manner as I comforted you. I had someone call me to express their love and gratitude for me because I was there for them when they were going through a very difficult time. And that's not just the job of a pastor. It's the job of everybody within the, it's all hands comforting one another. Most of the love that I have for God is because he has been there for me in times of trouble. That's how a relationship is built. If everything went well for us all of the time, there wouldn't be the closeness or bond to God like when he has taken us through some things. And I know I didn't deserve the mercy and the help of God, but it was his overwhelming love for me that set his power in motion for me. I cannot explain it. I can't even demonstrate why God would love me the way he does, and nobody is ever going to get to that place of estimation of how much God really loves us. The only thing we can look to is what he did at Calvary for us to demonstrate, I love you so much, and you haven't even made a commitment to me. God should have judged me many times for my failures and for you, but mercy showed up where judgment should have been. Thank God for his mercy in my life. Ephesians 2 and 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, why? For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Love always accompanies mercy. No love, no mercy. How is it that we want to extend mercy to our children all of the time? It's because of the great love that we have for them, and yet sometimes we won't extend mercy to somebody else, and it just demonstrates there isn't that same love for somebody else. Otherwise, we extend the same mercy that we do to our children. Take a look at Psalms 136. And we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we could. Verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth. And for 26 verses, it tells us why his mercy endureth forever. Doesn't stop short, doesn't get to the place where, man, you don't deserve it, it's over, I gave you a chance, that's it. No, his mercy, the only way I can show that kind of mercy is to have a love like God has. See? And when I don't extend mercy, it's because I don't have that same kind of love. It doesn't endure forever. It'll endure for a while, and then I get tired of extending mercy, and then I may stop. And it's not because I stop mercy, it's because I stop love. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets which thou breakest. So Moses was so angry with people that he broke the Ten Commandments. And God is extending mercy and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all of the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. And he hewn two tablets of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the mountain Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. God took this opportunity of the second set of tablets to demonstrate how much mercy he has. Broke all the Ten Commandments at once. And God said, okay, well, we'll do this over.
Right, amen.
You see, the law without mercy would have condemned everyone. And that's what he's giving us, the law. And when the law was broken, mercy entered in. But God gave the law with mercy and grace and long-suffering. You'll turn to John the 8th chapter. It seems like, you know, those of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those of the Old Testament, they were so conditioned to the law that they didn't recognize mercy when it was standing in front of them. Verse number 1 of that 8th chapter of John says, Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again onto the temple, and all of the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? We know what the law says. We know what it says. We've been studying it. What do you think we should do? He's trying to trick him. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Seems like we have a tendency not to extend mercy to people. You know, we're living as close to God's word as we possibly can. But we can get caught up with, you know, we're doing it right, and not wanting to extend mercy to somebody who's not doing it right. When I think of mercy, I think of Abraham, a man called by God to be the father of the faithful, yet he lied and said that his wife was a sister in order to protect him, thinking a king was going to kill him. He didn't trust in God to give him a son by Sarah, who was old, yet God's mercy extended to him, and he became the father of a great nation. Mercy. Man, I handpicked you, and look what you did. Wasn't long before you lied. When I think about mercy, I think about David, anointed to be king as a boy, and yet he disappointed God so many, many times, committed adultery, and then tried to cover it up with murdering the woman's husband. Yet God extended mercy and put him on the throne, called him a man after God's own heart. Oh, the mercy of God. When I think of mercy, I think about Peter, who denied the Lord three times in God's darkest hour and yet allowed him to preach the greatest message that was ever preached in the Bible, Acts, the second chapter. Oh, the mercy of God. When I think of mercy, I think about Paul, who was approved, you know, as a Pharisee. He was a man who had citizenship in Rome, who approved of the martyr of Stephen, the first martyr, persecuted the early church, bound them in chains and put them in prison because of this oneness message, yet is known as the greatest of all of the apostles. Oh, the mercy. When I think of mercy, I think about this woman caught in the very act. Where were these guys? And where is he? And Jesus said, go and sin no more. I think of the woman at the well who had five husbands and now was living with a man. And Jesus told her all about the true worshiper who should worship in spirit and in truth, the first one he told about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, not his own apostles, but the woman at the well who wasn't living right at all. Oh, the mercy of God. When I think about mercy, I think about Brother Fitch, brought back from the dead, worshiping all these years. I think about Sister Bear, healed from breast cancer in a moment. Sister Berg with stage 4 cancer. I think about Brother Jared Pankinen and their little girl, Caitlin, who was born with no air for 30 minutes, and they didn't give her a chance to live. And now I see her running around this church like there's nothing wrong with her at all. Oh, the mercy of God. I think of those delivered in a moment from alcohol and drugs and adultery. When I think about mercy, I think about my sister who was battling cancer, breast cancer, then bone cancer, and through it she was baptized in Jesus' name and still living, only part of 12% of the people who ever are healed. I think about how God saved my parents years ago when their house was burning down and a city truck was plowing the street and broke down their front door and got them both out before they died. And years later, baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, the mercy of God. Hallelujah. When I think of mercy, I think of those that didn't get the job that they wanted because it would have taken them away from God. Oh, the mercy of God. I think of how God didn't bless some things that we put our hands to because God knew that it would soon cause us to backslide or take a different position. Oh, the mercy of God. just before I started pastoring, I started a company that could have, well, later on it was sold to another company. It's now a multi-million dollar company. But God would not bless it as long as I had it in my hands, because he knew something that I didn't know. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the tender mercies of God that kept us saved every day. Sometimes we think we are restrained or disappointed or tragedies, all in disguise as the mercy of God. If we make it to heaven, it will be because God's mercy showed up. If you're looking for mercy tonight, are you willing to extend mercy to those that are around you? See, that's the key. When I think about mercy, I think about my wife and what she's gone through for years and years. And last 3 weeks, I can't keep her down because she's got all of this energy, and we keep praising God and thanking him. When I think of mercy, I think of me. That I'd be standing here tonight. Somebody dragging me to the church 41 years ago, and to think that, you know, I would want to pick up a Bible. I would ever preach a sermon. Oh, you don't know the mercy of God in my life. When I think of mercy, I think about each and every one of you, because each and every one of you have had the mercy of God extended to you in order to be where you are tonight. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I have to keep myself in the love of God. God, extend your mercy to me every day, because this flesh wants to rebel and not come to church, not do what's right. Those that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Those that despised God's authority died without mercy. I was saying to my wife the other day, I've never seen scripture where God was so angry as in Numbers, the 12th chapter, when Aaron and Miriam came to Moses and said, you know what? God speaks to us too. And I want to just straighten you out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I know God extends mercy, but when we deliberately do something that gets our God angry, like that. Miriam immediately contracted leprosy and was outside of the camp, but the mercy of God allowed her brother to get down on his knees and pray for her and pray for her, and God extended mercy to her. Glory to God. What could be worse than not having God's mercy? The word mercy in the Bible means an outward manifestation of sympathy and sorrow because of trouble or suffering of another. See, mercy is always something we extend to somebody else, not that we have. Nobody doesn't need mercy. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There is another chapter like Psalms 136 where God continues, says, and his mercy endureth forever. Do you think he wants to get something through to us? You know, I mean, how many times have you said the same thing to your child over and over? Because we want to get this point home. His mercy endureth forever. Thank God for God's mercy in our lives. The only way we can approach God to present ourselves for service, worship, or just be acceptable is on the grounds of mercy. Because I don't deserve it. I shouldn't be there. God shouldn't extend anything to me. It's only through his mercy. Romans 12 and 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, we can't even present ourselves unto God, which is reasonable service, except for the mercies of God in the first place. You know, there are some people who think they can walk away from God, and then when they decide later on, I'll just come back to God. I wonder how many backsliders have thought that and never, ever been able to get back, because you can't decide when you're going to repent. It's only the mercy of God that allows you to come back to God, you see? So only by mercy can we approach God, and I think we need more mercy. I think we need mercy every day. Amen. You've heard me say over the years, you get what you give. And it's so true. Give love and you get love. Well, nobody loves me. Who have you loved? Give respect and you get respect. Well, I don't respect, I can be cavalier, I can be even rude to people from time to time, and I don't understand why they don't respect my opinion. Give mercy, get mercy. Give judgment, get judgment. Submit to authority, and one day you can have authority, but if you don't submit to that authority, you'll never have authority. You'll never have power. You'll never have anointing. But mercy is not an option, because without mercy, we can't even approach God. So it's not a matter of, well, I'll do all the others, but I'm not going to extend mercy, because you can't get a hold of God without mercy. I can forgive and I can extend mercy to everyone, but not that guy, because he's just gone too far. You know? Like all of you except for a couple, you know? And what God is saying, well, I'm sorry, you're cut off. You don't get any mercy, because you can't select who you're going to extend mercy to, or I won't extend mercy to you. You will not have an easy way of approaching God. Turn to James, the second chapter. James chapter 2. And verse number 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. This is a test. I wonder how many times I've been in that situation where, I'm sorry, that hurt too much. And I'm not going to extend mercy to you. I'm the biggest target in this entire church, folks. I'm burned in effigy all the time. Now, God's saying, oh, how are you going to respond to that? You're going to still love them? Still going to care for them? And do you want my mercy? Because if you don't extend mercy, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get judgment. So those who show no mercy will never receive mercy, but receive judgment. Mercy laughs in the face of judgment. I can't be judged because I extended mercy even to the worst. It's a protection. Because if we're saying, you know what, do what you will, you know, nobody can offend me without my permission. And when I say it doesn't matter, I'm still going to love you, I'm still going to extend mercy to you, then judgment can't show up at my door. Glory to God. If we're looking for mercy of God, it can only be found if we have extended mercy to other people and not judged other people. You see, God extended his mercy to us long before we ever served him. Many of us should be dead years ago, but for the mercy of our God. Really? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart. If you didn't have that perfect heart and extend mercy to somebody else, I wonder, would you be sitting here? Would you have been hit by a train, hit by a car, been dead of some kind of disease? And God's mercy, you don't even know the mercy of God that has surrounded you because you have extended mercy to somebody else, and perhaps even those that have maligned you. Would you turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, please? Romans chapter 5, starting in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or exhibited his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. Amen. You talk about mercy. Amen. Long before we ever stepped into a church. How long should we extend mercy to others? Well, how long do you want God's mercy? You know? Amen. Why so much mercy extended to us? Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Those who display much mercy have great love for others. That's what it comes down to. You know, we just have to determine, you know, I love you. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to extend myself to you. That's what we do with our children. As a pastor, it's so easy to extend mercy because I love everybody that's in the church. Are there faults? Are there problems? Absolutely. But love conquers all of that and says, okay, I know they want to stone you, but go and sin no more. You see, that's the mercy of God. Mercy, you know, supersedes the law, you see. And they were saying, you know, we know what Moses' law said. Okay, Do you understand? You're talking to the one who made the law. Hallelujah. If you don't love people, you won't cut them any slack. So it's not so much about mercy. It's pretty much all about love. And what did he say was the first commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Everybody. Amen. See, I need the mercy of God. Without it, I'm in big trouble. Because I want God to show himself strong on my behalf. I've been tempted, you know, God says, vengeance is mine. I've been tempted, you know, give them a piece of my mind. There probably wouldn't be much left. We can't afford to give anybody a piece of our mind. We need to give them a piece of our mercy. Extend something to them. It's amazing that if I give somebody a tongue lashing, they won't remember it at all. But if I extend mercy to somebody, they'll always remember that kindness. Amen. I hope you weren't looking for something else tonight. That's all we have. Would you stand with me? You know, when I was putting this together and looking at all of the people that God has extended mercy to, I'm thinking, you know, I'm so glad that God records that of Abraham and David and Peter and Paul and all of the mistakes that they have made, and yet God says, okay, that's still my boy. That's still the one that I'm going to entrust with a message. That's still the one I'm going to put on the throne. That's still the one who's going to be the father of the faithful. Said to me, I've got a chance here. You've got a chance here, folks. Amen. See, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he'll use anybody he can in order to bring accusations against us. And then God sees it. And he's saying, how are you going to respond? Mercy or judgment? Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?